happening, and the objects were all out of sight. I had made a mess of my painting. My way now seems so worthless, but his blood made my painting belong. He worked with no condemnation, never mentioned the mess I had made. Then he dipped his to Jesus. When I gave the brush back to him, he started all over life's canvas to fill. When I gave to Jesus the brush
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Melissa. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and we shall begin to read in verse number 5 and read through verse number 9. Once you find your place in Proverbs 4, would you stand, please, as we get ready to read from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 5. God's Word says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom, and that's talking about not your girlfriend, but wisdom. When it's talking about her, it's talking about wisdom. Forsake not wisdom, and wisdom shall preserve thee. Love wisdom, and wisdom shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt wisdom, and wisdom shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Talking about wisdom. Wisdom shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. We'll leave off reading there, and I want to talk to you about getting wisdom. Getting wisdom. Boy, just the benefits of wisdom. Look at what the Scripture says. If you'll get wisdom, she shall preserve thee. You'll stand. You'll be able to stand. Your life will have purpose, and you'll be rooted and grounded. You won't be wishy-washy. You won't be up one day and down the next. Love wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Then is exalt wisdom. Make it a priority in your life, and wisdom will promote you. Let me ask you, how many fools on your job get promoted? God tells us that if we'll exalt wisdom, if we'll get wisdom and understanding, wisdom will promote us. Wisdom will bring you honor. Wisdom will give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Wisdom. Now, in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes about wisdom over and over and over again. And he contrasts wisdom with its opposite. The opposite of a wise person is what? A fool. A fool. Now, that describes us. Everybody here is described by those two words. We're either a fool or we're wise. Which best characterizes your life? Now, I'm not calling you a fool. God's asking us to look in our own heart and ask, do we have wisdom? Do we make foolish decisions? Remember my statement I say over and over again? Wise men and wise people learn from their own mistakes. Wiser people learn from the mistakes of others. So, wise people, people who have wisdom, are learning people. They learn from their mistakes, and they learn from the mistakes of others. But fools never learn. I want you to notice two verses tonight for the basis of our message. Verse number 5, get wisdom. Get understanding. Man, the Lord doesn't put a lot of flowery words in here. He just says, we need it, get it. Get wisdom, get understanding. Look at verse 7. He says, wisdom is the principal thing, the chief thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding also. I want to speak tonight on the subject, get wisdom and understanding. Get with it. Get them. Get them. You're not born with it, but you can get it. Wisdom is not determined by how much money you make. You may be a wealthy fool. Remember the man in the Bible that Jesus calls the rich fool? So God is telling us, He wants us to have wisdom. Get it. Work for it. Whatever's necessary to get wisdom, get it. Father, help me tonight to be able to encourage our people to seek Your wisdom and understanding that will make it possible for us to put into practice the wisdom we get. Now, Lord, I need Your help. Help me to say those things that You would have me to say, and help me to say them clearly, plainly, and effectively, that someone might receive help tonight. Fill me with Thy Spirit. In Jesus' name, thank You for our faithful people. Thank You for our guests and visitors. Do a work in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our scripture, we're instructed to get wisdom. But that's only part of the instruction. We're told with wisdom to get understanding. Have you ever met a person that was wise? A person that knew how to do just the right thing in the right circumstance. A person that's able to understand situation and understand people. This is a man who has gotten wisdom, or a woman who's gotten wisdom and understanding. It's important to understand the Bible meaning of these two words. Wisdom is to see things or life from God's point of view. Understanding is to properly comprehend all that wisdom has taught and how to rightly apply it in our life and dealings with others. You better understand wisdom and understanding is not just to help you get rich, but to help you in relationship with others. Wisdom is knowing God's word and will. Understanding is knowing how to put into practice God's word and God's will. Wisdom is choosing to live one's life according to the principles of God. Understanding chooses the ways, the times, the opportunities, and the places of practicing the lesson of wisdom. Wisdom sees, but understanding feels. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Understanding is practicing attained wisdom. Wisdom and understanding are partners in the Scripture. God tells us we need and are to get both of them. Now, the first thing I want to point out in our message tonight is our text in our Scripture. We're instructed to get wisdom and understanding. This implies, first of all, that in our natural state, we don't have wisdom and understanding. We're not born wise, and we're not born with an understanding heart. We're born into this world with an empty mind, an empty head. We must be taught and we must be trained. What's bad is to see a person 20 and 30 that's still empty up there. I've met some. I've pastored a few. God forbid. God lets us know that we're not born with wisdom and understanding. What we are taught and how we are trained will determine to a great extent our future in this life. What we're taught and how we're trained, our exposure to wisdom and understanding affects our future in this life. Whether we're going to go through this life as fools or as wise. Now, notice the word get. Get wisdom. That implies effort. May I say where that effort begins? It implies effort, first of all, on the part of our parents who have been entrusted by God with initial responsibility of bringing up the child in the way he should go. If a child is raised without wisdom and understanding, if he has not been taught the principles of God's Word from a child, that person is going to have some great struggles in life. He's going to make foolish mistakes because he doesn't have the wisdom to live life according to the Word of God. Now, mamas and daddies, you're the first ones that have the responsibility in helping your children to get wisdom. Much of their understanding about spiritual things, about moral things, about ethical things, about honesty and dishonesty is going to come from the knees of mamas and daddies that began to teach them the principles of the Word of God. May I say to you that our promiscuous society tells me that mamas and daddies are teaching the wrong thing, or they're teaching nothing. We're too busy with worthless efforts. Oh, my soul. You go through and look back at the the Jewish children under God's program as given instruction from the Word of God to the daddies and the mamas, their responsibilities of teaching their children was tremendous. Oh, my soul. Mama taught them until they were about five, and then daddy took over and began to teach character training and discipline and so forth. Then at somewhere around 10 to 15, they began to teach them the law. And then 15 on up to maturity, they began to teach them more detailed matters in theology. This was taught. Every Jewish male child went through this procedure. You go back and read the stories of young men and women back in the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. Many of them could speak four and five languages. Many of them could read Hebrew and Greek. And guess where they learned this? It started at daddy and mama's knee. Bible tells us to get wisdom. It's hard for our children to get it if mama and daddy don't have it to give. It begins with the responsibility of parents. That is the front lines. It implies effort on the part of our parents who have been entrusted by God with the initial responsibility of bringing us up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, or as it says in the Old Testament, in the way He should go. Our introduction to God and the Bible and to morality and to ethics ought to begin at mom and daddy's knee. Our introduction to God and Jesus ought to begin at mom and daddy's knee. Our character and discipline is instilled in our lives by our parents from our birth to our teenage years. And let me tell you, mom and daddy, if you don't teach from birth through their 12th year, you're fixing to have a world war something another take place. Get wisdom, and with it, get understanding. It begins with the responsibility of your of mamas and daddies. And let me stop right here and say to you, if your children are not what you wanted them to be, go back and look at your teaching. Go back and look at your example before them. We teach a little by what we say. We teach more by what we do. We teach most by what we are. I every time I get to this, I think about a particular young man that comes by my office about once every 2 years. He was raised up as a preacher's son. He's now in his 30s or 40s. His daddy pastored in Georgia. This boy won't darken the door of a church. Ask him why. He said, because I heard my daddy preach one thing in the pulpit and saw him live something else at home. If my daddy did that, then people in the pew does that also. That's sad, isn't it? The word get implies effort. It begins on the part of our parents, of you parents. But it also implies effort on our part. Everything I know about the Word of God, mom and daddy didn't teach me. They taught me about Jesus. They taught me to love the Bible. They taught me to love Jesus. They taught me to be faithful in church. They taught me morality and right and wrong, but they didn't teach me everything I know about God and about the Bible. They didn't pour heaven's wisdom into my heart. I had to put forth some effort myself. We get wisdom from God's Word. You know what that means? That means I'm going to have to spend time with this book. We're going to have to hide it in our heart. We're going to have to make it a part of our lives. And let me tell you how you can know whether you've been in the Bible enough to make it a part of your life. When situations occur, what's the first thing you think of? A Bible principle, a Bible verse, a Bible example, a Bible warning. I mean, if you've been in the Word enough to get wisdom, the wisdom of God, seeing life from God's point of view, then when situations occur, first thing you'll think of is how it is seen from God's point of view, how it's seen from the principles taught in the Scripture. And may I submit to you, most church members haven't been in the Bible enough to know what God says about most circumstances in our life. A tsunami can happen and they blame God. A man can kill his family and shoot his family and they blame God. A teenager can go wrong and they blame God. Your marriage fall apart and you blame God. God's not the author of sin. When we know the Word of God, when we have God's wisdom, we can understand from God's point of view circumstances in life. We see things like this. Heard on the news tonight about a man shooting his children and his family somewhere over in Dallas. You know what I thought of right away? Man, I hate the devil and I hate sin. I didn't say, where's God when that took place? How stupid. Wisdom, wisdom, seeing life from God's point of view. He sees the terrible sinfulness of sin. It'll cause a man to shoot his family or a mama to cut off the arms of her babies or drown them in a tub. It's not God. That's sin. That's the sinfulness of sin in the lives of men. In order to see things from God's point of view, you've got to spend time in this book. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You don't read it just as a storybook. Oh, I just want to read the fun stories, the adventurous stories. No, every adventurous story is teaching a Bible truth and setting forth a Bible principle. We need to learn the principles taught in the Word of God and the thus saith the Lord's from the Word of God and the commandments from the Word of God. It implies effort on our part. Time in God's Word. We get wisdom from experience. But my soul, you don't have to wait till you're 75 to have wisdom. Well, I went through the school of hard knocks. That's the most expensive school you'll ever attend, and it lasts longer than any other school you'll go to. You don't have to wait until you've experienced everything to have wisdom. You can get it from the Word of God. Yes, you can learn from experience. You can learn from history. But what history teaches us is most people don't learn from history. They make the same dumb mistakes the generation before them made. Because we don't have wisdom. We haven't spent time in the Word of God. We can get wisdom from God Himself. In fact, to do this though, you've got to spend time with God. See, the Bible tells us in James 1:5, if any of you, notice it didn't say if any man or any woman or any adult, if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You want wisdom? Spend time with God. Ask him for it. I don't know about you, but I've played the fool on occasions. And I don't like playing the fool. I don't like the outcome. So get wisdom, and with it, get understanding, so you don't have to play the fool and be the fool in life. Now, a fool is a person without wisdom and understanding. Some people are born without the ability to learn or acquire understanding. But most fools are fools because they're not willing to put forth the individual effort to get wisdom from the book and get wisdom from God. Then secondly, notice the ingredient necessary to get wisdom. The ingredient necessary to get wisdom. The ingredient necessary for parents to give instruction in wisdom is the same it is as it is for you as an individual to get wisdom. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. You know why my mom and daddy taught me about God and taught me about morality and taught me right from wrong, taught me to be honest, taught me to work, it worked in still. You know why they did that? They feared God. They feared God. They feared God because they knew what life would be without Him and what life would be without wisdom. Why do mamas and daddies go through the trouble of discipline and teaching and instruction and prayer time and dealing one-on-one with their children and spending hours after hour with them from birth until they get to be grown and out of the home, and still out after they're gone and out of the home, you still spend time with them? You know why? Because you fear God. If they don't do right, you know the consequences. And you don't want them to have to pay those consequences. See, God is a faithful God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Be sure your sins will find you out. The wages of sin is death. The Bible doesn't say a good thing about sin. Everything the Bible says about sin is bad, except it says there's pleasure in sin for a little season. That's the only good thing it'll say about sin. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we fear God, we know that God is a just God and God will not overlook sin. We know all the verses and the teachings about sin and judgment and the result of sin and the result of a foolish man's life. God is a faithful God that will not go against His word. Because of the fear of God, parents will teach their children. Not just because it's our duty, but we fear God and we love them. May I say to you, my dear friend, one of the ingredients necessary in your life to spend time with God and to spend time in the book to get wisdom and understanding is fear of God. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of fear that makes you live in terror. I'm talking about believing God and reverencing God and knowing that God is a just God and God is angry with sin and the sinner every day. God will not overlook our sin. He'll never condone it. That kind of fear, knowing God is holy and just, we ought to seek wisdom. We ought to seek wisdom. Anyone who boldly claims no fear is also declaring no wisdom and understanding. The very beginning point in getting wisdom is to fear God. Fear God. That's what the Bible says. Thirdly, the superiority of wisdom in a person's life. The superiority of wisdom in a person's life. We've already looked here, and God has told us that wisdom will preserve us and keep us. That wisdom will promote us, bring us to honor. Give thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, shall wisdom deliver unto thee. God goes on and tells us something else. It tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. As a Christian, the most important thing in your life is to get wisdom. And while you get wisdom, get understanding. It's the principal thing. You say, oh, I want to learn about Jesus. Fools don't learn about Jesus. Wise men seek Jesus. Wise women seek Jesus. It's the principal thing. It's the most valuable, the most important thing in a Christian's life. We have missed the will of God if we do not strive for the principal thing in our Christian life. All Bible truth will never be used or applied in our life or our family if we miss the principal thing. That is to get wisdom. Not only that, the Bible shows the superiority of wisdom in a Christian's life. In Proverbs 8:11, it tells us that wisdom is better than rubies. Now, diamonds are the most valuable of all precious gems. Second only to diamonds, rubies. A close second is rubies. The Bible says wisdom is better than rubies. If somebody offered you a bushel basket full of rubies, some of you would sell your soul to get it. But the Bible says wisdom is better than rubies. Wisdom. Notice, wisdom, Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that are to be desired are not to be compared to it. That's what the Bible says. I'm talking about the superiority of wisdom. Proverbs 16:6 declares that to get wisdom is better than getting gold. And to get understanding is rather to be chosen than silver. Wisdom and understanding. The superiority of it. Here's one for you macho men and you workout women. God tells us in Ecclesiastes 9:16 that wisdom is better than strength. Won't you flex your wisdom muscles? Get wisdom and get understanding. In Ecclesiastes 9:18, we're told that wisdom is better than weapons of war. You'd be better off to have wisdom to deal with the problems of this world than F-22 airplanes and smart bombs and missiles and tanks and submarines. Wisdom. Wisdom avoids war. Wisdom knows when to fight. And there's times you have to fight. There's times that war is necessary to preserve liberty and preserve freedom. Wisdom makes it possible for you to know the difference. There's great value in the pursuit of wisdom. Bible tells us that wisdom will never let us down. Wealth will pollute the mind and the life of a person, but wisdom never pollutes the individual. It helps us to see and act beyond our years and our experience. Strength can fail us in our times of trial and temptations, but wisdom, when heeded, will deliver us from those trials and temptations. Now let me conclude. If you'll give God your heart and life, seeking the principal things, wisdom and understanding, God will comb out all the kinks from your thinking. Have you ever talked to people and listened to people as they talk? My soul, at the stupid things people believe. Every now and then, my wife would send my daughters in to me, a comb and a brush. They've got tangles in their hair. Comb them out, would you please? Oh, my soul, my girls hated it. And I didn't like it. But to get all those tangles out, but after a while, you can run the comb through there without any resistance. Our mind is full of tangles and kinks. You know why? It's been twisted by the world's thinking, by the devil's thinking, by the flesh thinking, by Hollywood thinking, by sight thinking. But when we get wisdom and understanding, God combs the kinks and the tangles out of our mind, and we can think clearly and see things clearly. Have you ever talked to a person and you'd say, man, how can you see it that way? Because they're not looking through wisdom and with understanding. Yeah. You get wisdom and understanding. Give your life to God and spend time in this book, and God will begin to comb the kinks and the tangles out of your mind and your thinking. And here's something to consider. The smarter one gets, the more that one knows how much you need the wisdom and understanding that comes from God. Let me tell you what I've discovered in Bible college. Freshman classes come in. These young preachers stand up and they want to argue with the professor. They know everything. They've got the answer to every problem. They criticize every preacher and every pastor and every evangelist. They've got the answer. They don't. That's freshmen. When they get ready to walk across the aisle to get the diploma, most of them say, I don't feel like I'm worthy of this. I know nothing. The smarter one gets, the more we realize how much we need wisdom and understanding. That it is the principal thing. It's not what the world says, it's what God says that matters. It's not how the world acts and reacts, it's how God teaches us to act. Principal thing, wisdom and understanding. Those who have wisdom continue to seek for more wisdom and understanding from God's book. Now you spend a year studying the Word of God, and you do it with the right heart, you're going to come out after a year with some wisdom. And you know what that wisdom will teach you? That you need more wisdom and understanding. The wiser you become, the more you understand that true happiness is regulated by living out our lives the principles of God's Word. True happiness is not in things, it's not in money. True happiness is regulated by living out our lives by the principles of God's Word. That's wisdom. Wisdom. I've learned to act and make my decisions on not the basis of how I feel or what I see, but on the basis of what God teaches. Because God's always right. And that's wisdom when we come to that place. It's hard to apply those things to our life when you don't know them. God says, you can have them. Get it. Get wisdom and get understanding. Let us dedicate our lives to seeking wisdom and understanding from the very beginning of this year. When 2006 ends, I'm going to be a man of wisdom and understanding, because I'm going to devote my life to getting the principal thing as a Christian, wisdom. When you do, 2007 can be the most blessed year you've ever lived if you'll set out to get wisdom and understanding. Father, thank you for the simple lesson tonight. May you have, will you